Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this February 2nd, 2022. It's 2222. Happy birthday, boo.
No, happy birthday, you.
Well, thank you so much.
That's right.
Thank you so much. Groundhog's Day. Saw the shadow, by the way. So 6 more weeks of winter. So we have that going for us, which is nice. Michael K., along with Don LeGrecker, Peter Rosenberg. We're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, your responsibility. A lot of stuff to talk about today. A lot of stuff.
You think?
Yeah. Peter, is a new team to root for?
I do.
The Commies?
What? I love my Commies.
Now, I saw you on Twitter like diminish that, but remember, during the McCarthy era in the 50s, the Cincinnati Reds officially changed their name to the Redlegs so that people would not think that they were associated with communism.
Well,
serious.
I get it. I mean, the Cold War is over.
Yeah.
They're, like, it's just not, like, I actually saw a good amount of Washington fans panicking, being like, they're going to call us Commies. I mean, who cares? I can't worry about what the nicknames are going to be for our team by fans who hate us. The fact of the matter is this. I'll say this on the Commanders. Is it great? No. It's not my number one choice of name. However, and guys, I think this really is the point. I was one of the people who felt the name was offensive. I felt for 15 years they needed to change it. They did. Is the logo like the greatest thing I've ever seen? No, it's fine. Is the name the greatest? No, it's fine. But what were we going to love? What name, what new name for this team that I've rooted for since birth was I going to love? So I'm just fine with it. And I think that you know, the jerseys look cool. They sent me a beautiful jacket, so I love my
right
Commies.
Back. You sent it right back,
right.
Am I right? You're a journalist. Yes.
Now take a look at this. Yes, I don't know if they can zoom out and take a look at this beautiful box they sent it in. It is gorgeous. This Washington Commanders established 1932. But for real, they did. Whether they did it with a gun to their head or not, they did the right thing eventually and changed the name. Now I'm going to cry because they went with Commanders. It's fine. Let's get it started.
Let's get the show started. So Brian Flores did the rounds today after filing the lawsuit yesterday. He was on CBS This Morning. I believe he was on CNN. And then he was on Get Up with Greeny. Brian and his two lawyers. And I don't think he presented his case in a compelling way, to be honest with you. I think he has an incredibly compelling case. And I think it's a case that could move the needle and change sports the way we know it right now. But he was measuring every single word as if it had the weight of the world on it. Just didn't present it the way I thought that he should have. And maybe I'm just being picky here. I thought the lawyers, you know, dug in on what the issue was. You know, there are things that in this lawsuit, they're going to have to prove. And I'm not sure that they can. But I was thinking about this. Here's the bottom line with all of this. When the Rooney Rule came into effect, there were 3 black coaches in the NFL. So what, 16 years later, there's 1. So has it not had the desired effect? Now, you could say, well, that's a combination of anecdotal and empirical evidence, but it doesn't mean that people are being prejudiced because they could say we're just hiring the people that we think are the best, and the people that we hired we think are the best. I think a lot of the blackhead coaches that are not getting hired, you know, a lot of the enmity also should be pointed to the 6 black GMs that are not hiring black head coaches. Now, I'm not saying that they should, but you would think they'd be more open-minded and have more of a pool from which to pull candidates out of, and they haven't done it. And shame on them, too, because we keep saying the way that you change this is that black ownership. So with the Denver team that's going to be for sale, it's going to cost upwards of $4 billion, there needs to be a consortium of black businessmen and get together and businesswomen and get together and buy the team. That's how you affect change here. But, you know, Brian did all the requisite interviews. I don't know if the interviews moved the needle. Here's what it comes down to in my mind. Is there something wrong? Well, yeah, the sky is blue. You can see there's something wrong. You don't need proof of that other than the numbers of there's something wrong here. There's Mike Tomlin and everybody else. But do you have proof of the things that you've proven? So I don't know. I don't know if they have proof. The one thing I did like that the NFL did yesterday while we were on the air, guys, they released a statement like 2 hours after the lawsuit came out. And they said it's without merit. Oh, please. How did you took 8 months. 8 months to investigate deflating footballs. In 2 hours, you found out that every single thing in that lawsuit was without merit? That's shameful. But I told you yesterday, everybody, they don't know how to shame. They don't know how to be embarrassed. They sit on top of the world and they laugh at everybody and say, how's it working out for us? So I don't know how you shame them. Everybody keeps saying, well, even if he doesn't win the lawsuit, you know, it'll affect change. I don't necessarily think so. I think a lawsuit that's won, that will affect change. His accusations, if they go unfounded and unprovable, what does it do? Then they'll just keep going along their merry way.
No, well, that I disagree with because it calls attention to a problem. We see, we're living in a world where we recognize there's an issue. But we have to also recognize, Michael, there's a big portion of this country and a big portion of NFL fans that didn't even realize there was a problem. They don't think along the lines of paying attention to it. That now may go, well, I didn't realize there was only one black head coach. Like, it seems ridiculous to us because we follow the sport so closely and we're kind of in tune, especially in this area of the country, we're kind of in tune with other races and how people feel, and we're kind of sensitive to things. But there's a lot of people in this country that they live in their own world and they don't see a problem. And now maybe they will. Now, they might ignore it. They may not care about it. But is it possible that there are being some people are going to be alerted to there was a problem? Similar to the Colin Kaepernick situation, Michael, how it didn't work out for Colin, but did it wake people up to the injustice in the world that we didn't realize existed before Colin brought us the attention to it?
Can I give you one return serve on that?
Please.
Anybody that doesn't know there's a problem, they have their head in the sand, they don't care anyway.
Well, yeah, but okay.
How could you not know? I mean, really, how could you not know? Well, look at the sideline. Do you know that there are 13 or 14 black NBA coaches? Well, that's commensurate to the workforce. How could you have one when 70% of the workforce is black? That's a problem right there, whether Brian Flores has a lawsuit or not. But they don't care. Who's going to stop them? They're billionaires. Then nobody stops them. They run the world. So I hope that he has proof. Now, he did get some backing today. And by the way, we didn't mention this yesterday. Since it's a class action lawsuit, what that means is that other people can join it. So I think he's got some ducks lined up in a row where other people are going to say, I had the same experience as well. So Jackson.
Yeah.
Of the Browns said, yeah, he was given monetary incentives to lose games. Well, you know, he must have gotten a lot of money because he won one game in 2 years. And it's stupid to take that money because that's on your permanent record. You're not going to explain to your next employer, oh, by the way, I lost because Jimmy Haslam wanted me to.
Yeah.
But and he says he has proof. He has proof. Well, I hope that Brian Flores has proof of all these things.
But here's what I was wondering about, and we kind of talked about it on our text thread earlier, and I thought about it. Is it possible, Michael, as this gets deeper in, the attention's now more going to go to the possibility of throwing games than anything to do with black head coaches?
It might, because like, that's the most explosive thing.
Right,
the
this will end up being
outcomes.
The least. So even if Brian wins, you know, gets some traction in the case, is it going to be forever known as the case that changed the landscape of the African-American head coach, or is it going to be the case that exposed the NFL for throwing games?
But could it do both? Because could there be something to the fact, if in fact it's true of Hugh Jackson and Brian Flores, what's up with these teams wanting a black coach to be the face while they intentionally lose games? If that's what we find out it's happened with, I think it could support the case that they were set up to be embarrassed. Not only are their interviews a farce half the time, but then when they do get the job, they're asked to do things that are no coach should be asked to do. That they wouldn't ask a, quote, real football man. You know what I mean?
But what hurts Hugh Jackson is if he was given monetary incentives to lost, and he lost, I think he was 1-32, if I'm correct, he didn't look good. And that means
no.
He took the incentives.
Well, maybe he did, or maybe he'll argue he tried actually not to, but they were just that bad.
Then why would the owner have to, like, incentivize them when the team was just god-awful? But I think you need receipts. I think you need receipts in anything in life. So there's no way he has receipts that John Elway was hungover. No way. The only receipt that he has about the Giants situation is Bill Belichick's text. And the danger zone in that is that if it gets to the point where there's discovery, then they're going to ask for Bill Belichick's cell phone. And there's going to be any communication with the Giants. So if John Mara says, yeah, we're going to hire
Dable,
well, that's damning. That's proof them. So if he said, yeah, we're hiring Dable 3 days before they even interviewed Flores, that's damning.
Right, but do the Giants also get out from under because there was also white candidates that they interviewed under false pretenses too?
No. That
won't help, though, because the Rooney Rule.
Yeah,
They're not violating anything for those coaches.
I mean, the indignity of having Brian Flores and Leslie Frazier come in a joke interview.
But
now,
if Dable
I spoke
was
to somebody today.
The get-go, there were other candidates that were interviewed after the supposed decision that they were going to give it to Dable.
Well, I don't know if they knew they were going to give it to get Dable right away, but you know, 3 days before,
well, you
could
do
he
the
came
timeline.
In on Friday.
Well, when was Quinn interviewed?
Well, Quinn took himself out. I guess he knew that he wasn't getting the job. Dable was the first guy interviewed. He was the first guy in Zoom interviewed, and he was the first guy in person interviewed.
And the impression seemed to be that he made an impression almost immediately to where that they felt like that he was the guy from the get-go.
Well, I was talking to a guy that's in sports, high up in sports.
Go ahead.
Today, and he said, I don't know if the Giants did something wrong here. He said, but I will tell you this. You conduct interviews for jobs, and if early on in the interview process you go, this is the guy, man, this is the guy, you do all your other interviews just to see if somebody just blows you off that stance where the interview is so great, like Art Howe lit up a room, that they change their mind. But this happens all the time, and you do continue with the interviews. If somebody at the beginning of the process blows you away and you know in your mind and you articulate it amongst everybody, that's the guy. That's the guy, but the guy could be displaced if somebody just blows him away. You know, Greeny asked a great question on Get Up. Why'd you go through with the interview? I wouldn't have gone. After the Belichick tweet or text, I wouldn't have gone. Because then they're using you. Well, go get another black guy to fulfill your quota. That's what I would have done. He said that, he gave some answer that I didn't quite agree with, but you could see how he could think that way. He said, I just wanted to do my part and do the right thing. But, you know, if black coaches, associates, and coordinators feel they're being used, they should turn down the interviews. Make these teams scramble to fulfill the Rooney Rule. If you don't think you're getting a fair shake, don't go for the interview. Don't do it. I mean, there's got to be some kind of action, Peter, other than a lawsuit where the players, you know, you mentioned this yesterday, the players rise up and go, this can't stand. Other coaches go, this can't stand.
It really is the only way, you know. We talked about this a lot. Ebro and I spoke about this morning, you know, because Ebro basically stopped watching football and loves it, but he stopped watching after the Kaepernick thing, and he was always frustrated to see that other people wouldn't stop, but also admitted today that, like, there's basically no number. Even if 10 million people left the game, which would never happen, but even if they did, it wouldn't be enough. Their numbers are so massive that you really can't ask the public, in my opinion, and me and Ebro may disagree on this, but I don't think the public can even be expected to do anything about it. Like, the numbers are just too massive. So the question is, would players or other coaches do something about it? You know, today I heard Greeny had Ron Rivera on, and Rivera talked about how much he likes Flores, and how much he's seen other great black coaches of merit not get treated fairly. But is he willing to get together with other coaches and say, hey, we're not coaching our football teams till this gets remedied? We want a plan in place, you know? And is there guys like, if you really wanted to change this, doesn't it require putting together sort of a group that works with young black assistants and former players to build up a coaching sort of a fraternity of young black coaches that you can be building to feed to teams? Like, doesn't there have to be purposeful effort? I understand, like, the teams may not do that, and maybe we can't count on them to do that, but couldn't the coaches union, the players union, and the league come together to kind of create a pipeline at least?
Well, that's the thing.
To make it harder for these teams to do this?
Yeah, there just needs to be more people in that pipeline. Because if it is cronyism, where it's only hiring the people that you know, well, the more African-Americans that are in that pool allows then there to be more opportunities. So you're right. There has to be something at the level of, all right, it seems like in the NFL more so than in other sports, especially baseball, where you want to have played the game at some level to coach, right? And not everybody was great, but they at somewhere that they were in the NFL. Are we talking to these players like, who wants to be a coach when their career is over? Here's how you can go about doing that and trying to open it up, because a lot of these players don't think about life after football. Is there a way to kind of grow that? Unfortunately, it's not going to be immediate, Peter. It's going to take a long time. But to get more in the system is, because no matter how you look at it, there's still so few that are even coordinators to be able to get the opportunity for the job.
There's one thing that should have been noted a long time. We brought it up a couple of times. To me, it's the biggest clarion call that there's something fishy going on. David Culley and Steve Wilfs. Take a look at what happened with those guys. African-American head coaches fired after 1 year. 1 year. Well, they had to bring in the genius Kingsbury in St. Louis. I don't even know why Culley got fired. The Texans were competitive every single game this year, and they had no talent. So what would you use them as, placeholders? So then you could say, well, our teams are going to be bad, so let's have a black head coach. That'll make us look good, and then we'll fire them after 1 year. How many white coaches get fired after 1 year? How many? That's what you have to be upset about. Again, the inability of these rich men to feel shame is at the crux of this. They don't know how to feel shame. They don't. You can't pressure them into anything. And it's got to hit them in the wallet before they make a change. Maybe the threat of discovery will scare them. But I don't know if this is a lawsuit that can be won. I mean, does anybody think this is a lawsuit that could be won? There is racial discrimination, but bottom line is you have to prove it.
But, again, where I disagree with you, I don't think you necessarily have to win for good to come from it. You know, O.J. didn't have to be found guilty for us to believe he was guilty. Going through the process woke us all up to be able to formulate our own opinion. So if this goes deep and it's highly covered and information comes out, yeah, in a court of law, they may be found innocent. But when enough information comes out through that trial, people are going to be able to formulate their own opinion. In the court of public opinion, they may end up losing enough where they'll say, all right, we won this time, guys, but we may not win next time. We're going to have to do something about it. Or maybe there will be things that come out where they win, but there's enough evidence where a corporate sponsor will say, you know what? I don't know if I want to invest in this league for the things that they were accused of doing and the things that I saw during that trial. It may not be enough people, Michael, to make a dent as far as the ratings and the revenue that they bring in, but calling attention to it and having their reputation sullied during the process might get change. It doesn't have to necessarily be a win or a loss. Still makes it worth fighting for.
You would think that one of their owners enacting the Rooney Rule, that would affect change. I'm telling you, the only thing that affects these men is the bottom line. So you think that sponsor is going to bail out on a league that gives you something that nothing gives you? There's nothing out there that gives you an average of 50 million listeners or viewers. We'll see. I just don't know. I think it would be best for him if he won. I hope that he's got receipts. Well, But I hope he's got proof.
Because remember, the Kaepernick thing became wasn't black or white. It was green. If you sign Colin Kaepernick, I'm not renewing my season tickets. If you sign Colin Kaepernick, I'm pulling my $250,000 season ticket suite. Right? That's what moved the needle. That's why Colin Kaepernick didn't have a job. So you don't think that there could be enough that happens in this trial where enough stuff gets out there where there may be a corporate sponsor that says, I don't want to be involved in this?
I don't know.
They would only do it reading the tea leaves of the American public. The only reason any of these brands, like we saw, remember when we saw all these huge corporate entities put out statements about Black Lives Matter? All of that stuff only happened when they read the tea leaves. They have to get it from the public first. They're never going to do it simply because it's the right thing. It would have to be a public that's truly upset. And the fact of the matter is, we all love football so damn much that everyone's going to watch the Super Bowl. Oh, look, Snoop Dogg and Eminem at halftime. And blah, and before you know it, no one's talking about it again.
But that, you know, that can happen even if they lose.
Yeah, it could.
I mean, because let's look at it from that way, Michael. They lose the lawsuit. All right, what happens? They'll have to pay a fine.
They got to pay a lot of money.
But so how is that going to change anything?
Because the thing that affects these men is in their wallet. And you're right. If corporate sponsors pulled out, I don't think they will. If they get hit and zapped in the wallet, that will change things.
So you know,
because
let's
just put it this way. Doing the right thing does not affect them, because the right thing would be there should be more than one black head coach.
Let's see that logic through. What would they have to pay?
I don't know.
All right,
He's not asking for specific monetary.
No, but they're found guilty. I don't think there could be a judge that can make them hire African American coaches. So there'll probably be some sort of fine levied, and they'll come up with some system like the Rooney Rule, and then we'll fast forward 5 years later and see that system doesn't work. And no matter how much money you fine them, it's divided by 32, and these guys are all billionaires 100 times over. So even if it was $1 billion per team, they pay the ticket, and everything goes back to the way it was before. When you really look at it, it almost seems like an impossibility. Because they're so big, is there anything that's going to make them change?
I think a big monetary loss would make them change a little bit.
But how big could it be that's going to move the needle? You know how much money we're talking about that these owners have?
I know.
To Don's point, it has to be big, big money that affects them. Because like Spike Lee said yesterday, I thought that was a great line by Spike, who's the Branch Rickey among them?
There's not a Branch Rickey among them. You know, if the NFL really wanted to like get a very quick spray of deodorant today, you know what they do? The Texans hire Brian Flores. Boy, does that take a little of the starch out of what he's claiming. I mean, it would be the perfect thing to do. The GM and his assistant are both from New England. They're very familiar with Flores. They've worked with him before. Wouldn't that be the perfect answer? See, there's no racism. We just hired the guy who's suing us.
Right.
Can they even do the right thing?
Right. And in fact, it's like, and hey, we want him to continue his lawsuit because we need to see what's going to happen here. We don't even fear it.
Right.
Just deal with it.
Weren't you sickened, though, by the arrogance of them? There's absolutely no merit.
I said that.
How did they know that in 2 hours?
How did they? I said that yesterday. I don't understand how they put out a statement.
I mean, did they call up Stephen Ross and say, did you offer them this money? Did they call up John Elway and say that in 2 hours they did all this? No, they might have called up Mara. Is this true? But to say there's absolutely no merit, it's insulting. But what they do is insulting because they have an inability to be shamed.
But even if they did hire Brian Flores in Houston, that's a Band-Aid. Because now they'll look great. Look what they did. Flores gets a job. And then everything just goes about the way they want it to go about anyway.
Right. So that's why it's smart for them to do that. If they want to continue to be this tone deaf,
but we said this.
This puts a Band-Aid on it if you hire Brian Flores.
We said that back in the day about Kaepernick, too, though.
And think about this, Peter. The three black coaches I mentioned, Wilkes, Hugh Jackson, and Flores, it looks as if they were all hired to take the losses until they could build something up and bring a different coach in. So they hired the minority coach to take the losses.
Right.
And Cully. I mean, come on.
And
it's Cully,
right, Cully's a great example. I mean, Cully's really, if you have Hugh Jackson and you have the Brian Flores thing, Cully's the perfect third one to add to that.
And Wilkes.
They brought
and the Cardinals. There's four people right there. They were hired to lose.
Cully, and the fact that Cully did a good job with this broken team and you knew he had no reasonable chance. I mean, isn't it a quarterback. Isn't it almost illegal just off top in most good employment situations to be fired if you're doing your job? Like, not illegal, but don't you kind of have to present a real reason to David Cully as to how he didn't do his job this year?
I think from a legality standpoint, there's only legs for not hiring somebody. I think you can fire somebody pretty much.
But let me just say this. Like at our company, for example, right? A company that actually does things on the up and up, in my experience at ESPN.
Yes.
We know plenty of people. We've all known people here who no one thinks are great. And they're not performing at the best level. And ESPN is so buttoned up that they move them and they may give them a position where they're not going to be as likely to make mistakes, but they can't just willy-nilly fire them. They have to go through a process. So like, but in football, you can totally do your job, have no weapons as Cully did this year in Houston, and still be fired at the end of the season.
Well, because the difference is he still gets the money for the length of his contract.
True. He's still getting his money. But it doesn't change the fact that it was the one job he's probably been waiting for his whole life.
Something was
up there.
And
he probably wouldn't get one again.
I don't know what was going on. Something was up there.
Like, what do you mean?
That he was let go after 1 year. It was very odd. But
what could be up is exactly what Michael's saying.
Let's have the minority guy take the losses.
And they looked at it, dig this, they looked at it like they were doing him a favor.
Right.
We're going to give Cully a season as head coach. Oh, really? That's nice. Yeah, he's been a good guy. He's been around for a long time. Let's give Cully a season. He'll be happy to take the fall. He does a 4-13 year with no quarterback. Season ends. He's out.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll get to your phone calls. A lot of people want to talk about this. We're going to have Ryan Smith, who works with ESPN and is also an attorney, to give us the lay of the land on what has to be proven here by Flores in order to win this case. So we'll have him on at the end of this hour, but your phone calls are next right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Peter has a new team to root for, the Commies.
I love my Commies. I actually saw a good amount of Washington fans panicking, being like, they're going to call us Commies. I mean, who cares? I can't worry about what the nicknames are going to be for our team for my fans who hate us. The fact of the matter is this. I'll say this on the Commanders. Is it great? No. However, and guys, I think this really is the point. I was one of the people who felt the name was offensive. I felt for 15 years they needed to change it. They did. Is the logo like the greatest thing I've ever seen? No, it's fine. Is the name the greatest? No, it's fine. But what were we gonna love? What new name for this team that I've rooted for since birth was I going to love? So I'm just fine with it.
The Michael K. Show.
They sent me a beautiful jacket.
You sent it right back.
Right.
Am I right?
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, to piggyback on that rejoin, I don't know if you saw this, Peter. According to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, according to Fanatics, since launching the Commanders name, they are the top-selling team overall across all sports on Fanatics.
Wow.
The Terry McLaurin and Chase Young burgundy jerseys are both in the top five ahead of the Tom Brady red Bucks jersey.
I mean, listen, I would hope so, right? Like, it would kind of be an utter failure if you didn't all of a sudden have the most popular jerseys.
Yeah, but it's still a shame, right, that he ends up getting rewarded for all of this by having the jersey sell and making him even more money.
Oh, Snyder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Is that right?
Oh, all right, so I thought Ryan Smith was great, gave us some clarity on this, and this is not going to be a popular take. Societally... All right. The racial discrimination in the hiring practice of the NFL is the most important story by far. But the allegations of owners asking coaches to throw games is something that, if proven, could be absolutely crippling to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing that every sport needs is for the fans of said sport to always believe that the outcome is legitimate. If you take that away, it becomes a theatrical exercise and it loses its soul. That's why baseball needed Babe Ruth after the Black Sox scandal. If you could throw a World Series, what game during the season can you trust? If owners can actually bribe coaches to throw games so that they can have better draft picks, it's unconscionable. And I think that that would be the crippling thing to the NFL. Now, if it's proven that they have racially indiscriminate hiring policies, right? Oh, there's gambling in this establishment? We all know it. There's one black coach out of 32 in a league with 70% workforce that's black. We know it. Without proof, we know it. We know that there's something fishy there. But we did not know that we might not be seeing legitimate outcomes. And that is potentially crippling to a sport. You want to see how the NFL can come down? That's how the NFL could come crashing down if that could ever be proven.
Well, it's certainly not going to help. And unfortunately, that would probably overshadow the racial aspect of the lawsuit because everybody would flip out if this was proven, Michael. And I don't know how – listen, would they get up from it? They probably would. But it still would do a lot of damage. Because
you've got a sport that's in bed now with gambling sites. If the outcomes are not legitimate, what does that all mean? What's it worth? We were afraid that with the proliferation of gambling that you could get the players and have them throw games. Now it's owners that are throwing games for draft picks. I mean, we see this in every sport with tanking.
Right.
Tanking is essentially throwing games. So they're asking coaches to tank so they could get better draft picks. That's why the whole draft system has to be reworked in all of the sports.
And maybe that's how they get up from it, because it'll only be the select teams that we're probably looking to lose anyway for the draft pick, because we've always accepted that some teams are really bad. But every once in a while you get the moment like you got with Jacksonville beating Indianapolis in Week 18. Like, how did that happen? You know, so you don't want people watching games and wondering if this is for real or not.
Especially now with how big gambling is in this game.
But it's gambling, and then how many lawsuits, Peter, could you get from, like, what if you bet on that team and then you found out they threw the game? But it's not even just the gambling. It's just the integrity.
Oh, yeah,
all right, nobody cares about Cleveland. Nobody cares about Houston. But they played teams that benefited from the wins, that beat out somebody else in the division that maybe missed the playoffs because of that. So was a championship end up being BS because a team got there that really shouldn't have gotten there and then went on a run? I'd have to go back and see who they played late in the season and all that. But that's what you fear more than anything else is, do we have a legitimate champion? Are all these games on the up and up? You know, when you go into the last week of the season, you're taking on a team that's competing for the first overall pick, that you're likely going to win that game. But if you found out that you intentionally won the game.
Well, this is interesting. Kimberly Diemert, the executive director of Hugh Jackson's foundation, her exact quote, that she said that they have records. She tweeted that, quote, "We have records that will help the Flores case."
And later in that story, Peter, she also said in a phone interview with ESPN that the proof is well documented and previously had been presented to the league.
Well, now. That's a whole other thing.
So is this a cover-up too? Does anybody even remember that Tom Brady retired? This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's sickening on all fronts.
Well, they better come up with something to get this settled. And maybe the benefit can be that they actually come up with a system that works to get more opportunities for African-American coaches, because if they go to this and lose, it's one thing of being embarrassed, not having enough black head coaches, to see that they covered up. And then going deep into the lawsuit, believe me, we'll find stuff.
But again, it goes back
how far
circle.
Back it goes.
What can you end up doing? You know, like, what is – so let's say they say, we're going to cut Brian Flores a check, and on top of that, that's not enough. We need to present a way to make this whole thing better. What does that even look like? Well, how do you do that?
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Joe in Staten Island. Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
How are you? How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. I was just, you know, I'm listening to you guys talk, and, you know, why can't it be that there's only one black coach in the NFL? Because maybe there aren't that many black guys that are qualified to be a coach in the NFL. I don't see that many coaches in college that are black. Maybe it's just a thing that's just been going on for so long that there isn't that many black guys that are capable, not capable, but, you know, up for the job.
Well,
so
I mean, I can't say that you're wrong, but what do you think the likelihood, Joe, is that of all these black players that have become coordinators and on coaching staff, not one of them, not two of them, not three of them, is qualified to be a head coach? What are the odds of that?
No, but we also have 80% of the workforce is black, and there is a players' union. Why haven't they come up with the players saying, hey, man, we want this guy to be a coach? How do we go about that? They can't go wrong by doing that.
Well, you know, we said that, Joe. To affect change, the players could step up and say, we're not playing. But their careers are so short-lived, they don't even stand up for themselves.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
the average NFL career is about 3.5 years long.
I mean, think about the plausible deniability one has to have to make an argument like that.
It's an argument. I can't prove a negative, but, Peter, what's the likelihood only Mike Tomlin is qualified to be a coach?
It just doesn't – there's just no world in which it makes sense. And I thought you guys tapped into something interesting yesterday, which is that, you know, why is it that we see more black GMs than head coaches? And that's a complicated one that I think is hard to figure out. But I think the main thing is, so I think it seems to me that a lot of, not all, but that a lot of white people who don't concern themselves with race issues only see racism through, like, hoods and nooses. They don't ever look to cronyism as a form of racism. You know, like, they're always looking for a racial epithet or, like, this really obvious racism. But a lot of it, guys, is a lot more benign seeming than that. And we've talked about this a lot, which is these coaching trees that ultimately are predominantly white because it's a good old boys club. You may even have situations in which there are teams that there is no overt racist involved in the team, but there's no one who made the concerted effort to change anything. So people hire their friends. People hire their friends' kids. They hire the player who they related to when they were at the same organization, and so on and so on and so on. So it's not necessarily, I think for some people, it's hard for them to conceive of that there could be so much racism. And maybe it's not mostly all-out racism. Maybe a lot of it is just sort of de facto racism because people aren't broadening their horizons.
But each individual team could have their reasons. Like, all right, Shane hired Daboll because he's comfortable with him. I'm all right with that. I mean, it's his first job as a general manager. He wants to hire somebody he knows he's comfortable with. In that particular incident, you could say, all right, that makes sense. But when you look at it as a whole, can you explain away every single opportunity? That Brian Flores, who became the first coach ever in the history of the NFL to be fired after having a 7-game winning streak in the second half of the season, cannot get another job the very next year? And yet you see very average coaches get recycled over and over and over again that are white?
And by the way, this is where I kind of like, I kind of won't let the Giants off the hook. In New York, in this incredibly diverse market, in their 100-year history, not one black head coach. They could have made a decision. Like, listen, again, I'm not calling the Maras and the Tishes racist. I'm not saying that. But they're certainly no heroes. I mean, they could have said, we're doing the math here. We have not had a black head coach. It's 2022. Wow. This league has an issue. Hey, Brian Daboll's great, but guys, let's be honest. He's another random coordinator we weren't thinking of a year ago. It's not like they couldn't have come up with a black name that this market would have gladly accepted.
I don't
want
to be in the position to argue against you because then it's almost as if I'm arguing like for racism. I'm not doing that. What I'm doing is I'm just defending the Giants in the sense that, and I don't understand it either. Like Spike didn't even give me a good enough answer. How there could be six black general managers and just one black head coach. But the Giants organization's had 20 head coaches, none of them white. Never had a black quarterback till Geno Smith took over for Eli Manning. But they've had a black general manager. Ronnie Barnes has been their head trainer for 30 years in African-American in a sport that doesn't have a lot of African-American trainers. The face of their franchise since he played in the league was LT, who they defended and kept on the field all the time. So there's examples where there isn't. But you make it a good point. Not one time in all the different coaches that in the 11 or 12 that they've had in my lifetime, they haven't. They've had offensive, defensive coordinators. The defensive coordinator is black.
I just found it so – like, Dable – and by the way, again, Dable's not to blame here either, right? He didn't do anything wrong. He got an opportunity, he took it. No one begrudges him that. But I just remember, like, Flores became available, and it seemed like such an appealing option. And, like, almost immediately we're talking about this guy, Brian Dable, who I'm like, I don't even know who that is. I mean, let me just be frank. Yeah, I heard his name now because of his success in Buffalo. But, like, over the last several years, Brian Flores has become a commodity.
But doesn't it make sense,
same with Leslie Frazier.
Peter? That the assistant general manager of the Buffalo Bills would select the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. He knows the guy. Just
well, why wouldn't
just
he have selected Leslie Frazier? He knows him.
He's the defensive coordinator.
Why wouldn't he select Leslie Frazier? Why Brian Dable?
And if he knows both, that's where I blame the Giants to some degree. If you know he knows both, go, hey.
But
by the way, this is the definition of what people want with things like affirmative action and the Rooney Rule. Oh, hey, you know Brian Dable and Leslie Frazier? Oh, you think both of them are great? Let's go with the black guy. That's what we need to do because there's a huge discrepancy in the amount of black coaches.
What I'm saying is that there seems to be evidence that that the reason that with the confusion with Bill is that John Mara may have wanted Flores and maybe didn't want to fat hand the new general manager because of what's happened over the last decade and let his general manager pick his guy.
That I disagree with, though, Peter, and I might be on a different side than you, I think you hire the best person. Now, I believe that if it's a tie, then you should go the thing that helps hope society. But if Leslie Frazier's not as good a candidate as Brian Dable should get the job.
I agree. If they don't think that they're of equal merit, then I hear you. But once they get to a point where they got a few guys of equal merit,
right,
then you go, hey, we got to try to change this for our organization.
And as good as it would be for society, Peter, would it be great for the Giants that if Joe Shane wanted Dable and then John Mara forced Brian Flores on him? That would be good for the Giants and for the look and for the credibility, but it would be good for the long-term relationship with his general manager and his owner. And then, you know, John Mara, who's made so many bad mistakes over the last 10 years, being fat hands with his general manager.
So think about the irony there, Don. Think about how crazy it would be, guys, if in this specific moment, Mara wanted Flores, decided to defer to his new GM as to not fat hand it, and now was dealing with this.
Right.
That would be incredible.
Now, Cameron Wolf, who covers the league for the NFL Network, tweeted this out. I spoke with a witness who said he heard Steve Ross offer Brian Flores $100,000 for every 2019 loss. Flores' team says they have corroborating evidence, including messages from GM Chris Greer. If proven, integrity of game in question. Dolphins denied the allegations. If he's got messages from Greer.
Just think of the arrogance that you think it's okay to leave a paper trail. How untouchable do you think you are? You never thought this would come back to haunt you? You can't leave a paper trail on something like this. Wow.
Very odd. Very, very odd.
Well, because it just, again, you're just this big machine. At the end of the day, what's going to happen?
And by the way, the quarterback that Ross wanted him to meet on that boat was Tom Brady. It's being reported that it was Tom Brady. We thought it might have been DeSean Jackson. DeSean Watson, I'm sorry. It's Tom Brady, which I don't understand the tampering part. He was a free agent. Why would there be tampering unless it was before he declared free agency?
Right.
Well,
that's the only thing it could be.
That's the only thing.
Right. All right, we'll take a brief time out. Take your phone calls. Unbelievable topic. And I wish we had answers. I mean, we could bat it back and forth and give you theories and stuff like that, but there are no answers. I mean, again, the sky is blue. There's one black coach out of 32. That doesn't make sense. You try to make sense of things. Sometimes it should be easy. What you see is actually the answer. As Don always said, sometimes it's as simple as just a bad guy. Well, one black head coach out of 32, sometimes it's just as simple as something's fishy there. That doesn't seem right. We'll be back on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Thank you to everybody on social media that are sending me birthday wishes. Much appreciated. And all the people that have texted me as well. Makes me feel very warm inside. So I thank you. All right, so the Knicks are playing the Grizzlies tonight.
The Grizz.
So then I said, Michael, maybe you should look at the Knicks' schedule coming up. And according to Tankathon, a fund with numbers sent me this, it's the second hardest schedule the rest of the year of any NBA team. So here we go. You ready for this?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Got the Grizzlies, who are excellent with John Morant, who was a show in himself. Once again, the Knicks, the lottery didn't go well for them. So they missed out on Zion, which they might have been lucky. And they missed out on Morant. And, I don't think that Barrett's a bad player, but he's certainly not as dynamic as John Morant. He's turning the Grizzlies into a legitimate contender. All right, so you got the Grizzlies tonight. Then you go on the road at the Lakers, at the Jazz, at the Nuggets, at the Warriors.
Holy crap.
At the Portland Trailblazers. Now, the Lakers aren't good at home, and everybody's injured, and LeBron's out with a sore knee, but where's the win in those next five games, or including the Grizzlies, the six games? I guess the best chance of the win would be the Lakers, which would be on Saturday. So then they come back home. Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, that's a win. Then they get the Nets. Then they get the Heat. Then they get the Sixers. Then they go to Philly and they get the Sixers. Then they're on the road again on the West Coast. They're away against Phoenix. They're away against the Clippers. Then they play the Kings. Maybe a win. Maybe a win. Then they're away against the Mavericks. Then they're away against the Grizzlies. Then they're away against the Nets. I mean, it's like the circus is in town. Why are they away from the Garden so long? Then we move on. Then they come back home against the Trailblazers, Don's favorite team. Why, Don?
I'll never sell.
Then the Wizards, then the Jazz, then the Atlanta Hawks. Maybe a win, maybe.
Why aren't we playing win-win, loss-loss, loss-win, win-win, loss?
We're not. Because it's too cumbersome.
Okay.
Then they go on the road again at the Hornets, at the Heat, at the Pistons. Maybe a win. Then one more time on the road. We're taking it to the beginning of April. This is at home, against the Bulls, against the Hornets, against the Cavaliers. So through March, an optimistic fan out of all those games could say maybe three or four wins, maybe. Unless they make this killer deal in the next 8 days before the trade deadline. But that is a beast. That schedule's a beast. When you look at that schedule, everybody, you could really make a compelling case that they're not even making the play-in.
Well, I can't imagine they would if they only win like four games the rest of the way.
Well, there's some games after. I should have gone the whole way. Then go away against the Magic. That could be a win. Home against the Nets. Away against the Wizards. Home against the Raptors. That's the end of the season.
All right, so.
There's six wins, all right, seven.
So six. Where does that put them record-wise?
I've got to check.
It's not going to be good.
No, I don't think it's going to be enough.
If I give them six or seven more, let's say I give them seven more wins.
So 30 and 52.
That's not.
31 and 51. That's not getting it done.
That's called they'll be the only team they'll be better than at that point probably be like the Pacers. I mean, they would be at Pacers, Pistons, Magic.
Now, level. I could see a Knicks fan out there say, well, wait a minute. Nobody thought they'd beat Milwaukee earlier this year. That they'll probably win some of those games you expect them to lose, but they'll also probably lose. Why wouldn't they lose the Magic game? They lost twice to them at the Garden.
I'm giving them the layups, Don, but you're right. Anything
right, but I'm could... saying is if they do surprise you and beat Golden State in Golden State, all right, mark my words, they'll give it back by beating one of those layup teams.
It's amazing.
Well, what do you expect? Oh, are you surprised by the way they're playing?
Yeah, I am surprised they're playing this poorly. Yes,
well, overall, but right now, are you surprised that this is where we're headed? I mean, this is enough of a sample. Maybe they played over half the season now.
Well, I'm surprised they're at this point. You're right.
Right.
Moving forward, if they win six games the rest of the way, I'm not surprised. Again, maybe they make an earth-shattering deal by the trade deadline, but even if you make an earth-shattering deal, then you have to integrate that player into the system. It's never that easy. But what a mess. What a mess. Everything they did during the offseason didn't work out, except, you know, Grimes turns out to be a pretty good draft pick.
It just feels like, Michael, that every time we have this conversation over the last few weeks, I've looked and they've been in 11th place, a half game back of Atlanta or Boston or Toronto. Like, they haven't moved. And part of the reason for that is they're 4-6 in their last 10, and that's coming off a win.
And they had a January where they were one game under 500, and R.J. Barrett had the best month of his career.
Yeah. So where, if this is going to happen, they've got to somewhere win like 9 of 10.
Yeah, and where do you see it? With that schedule, like,
not what you just showed me. Can they play better than Atlanta, better than Boston over the stretch to get into the play-in? The ship has sailed on finishing 6. They're not doing that. So they're in the play-in, and they're probably going to barely get there.
I think, I'll tell you what, if they're in the play-in, they did something amazing that we're not anticipating. Owen Moeller tweeted and said that they're away from the Garden for the extended period of time due to the Big East tournament.
There you go.
Happens. And also, drop madness, same time. They like to give us space here on TWE.
Drop, I can't wait for drop madness.
Oh, it's going to be big.
You took the dogs out.
Peter, at some point, we got to work out our busy schedules. But I'd be willing to do a drop madness preview.
Yeah, we have to. Even
shut
if
up, fatty. Time to move on.
And what we should do is the two of us do a podcast where a seating show, like the selection show.
Bing bong!
Reveal, analyze it, break it down.
And you know what? You have to have Andrew as like the pompous.
Well, hey there.
Head of the committee, like they have in the NCAA, the guy you hate when he comes on that Sunday, he has to sit down and just be grilled by both
right.
of you.
So
we're
have
all
that.
Grown up now.
And then the two of us, Peter, but then we also need like a fourth. We need like a drop madness analyst. Like who's a drop madness expert?
Joe Lenardi.
Bring in RJ.
Yeah. But RJ doesn't stay up. You'd have to do it very early because, you know, I asked him to make a guest appearance on the show. He said, I'll be sleeping then.
Well, hold on. Do you guys have Andrew? Do you have any crossover with RJ?
What do you mean? Like I see him during the day?
Yeah.
No.
Never.
I don't. No.
What? What time?
Well, when
you
I was
him?
Doing those giant shows, like last what was that Monday? And I dialed in at 10. He was there.
He would definitely do it for this.
Yeah, I mean, if we wanted to get like after, I'd do it like at 10:30 after your
that's
your hot show.
Time.
Let's do it.
Peter's nap time.
I'll do
when
it.
Is your nap
Damn
time?
It up! I don't have a set nap time anymore. I don't nap some days.
So
really?
This would be a day you wouldn't nap because you're all on board with this, right?
Oh, yeah.
This today podcast would blow up.
Today there was no nap?
No, no dump today.
So you're not even going to ask me, right?
No.
Interesting.
Now, would you do it, Michael, if it was just from home? You just had to jump on the headset?
I would do anything to further this show.
Except this.
Well, I don't understand how this furthers the show.
Because it'll get people excited even more for drop madness.
Andrew's not even excited. He rues the day.
I will fight you after this show.
But I think he even realizes this would be so good for the show he would participate. Right, Andrew?
He is going to be just completely destroyed whatever he comes up with.
Because no,
because
I've had it.
Such a drop-heavy season.
Well, there might be compliments there too. You don't know.
Probably not.
Right, so
don't,
if you want to do
worry.
It, Michael, we'll do
don't
it.
You worry.
New York Post reporting Robert Kraft threw a temper tantrum over Tom Brady's snub.
Oh, no.
Wow.
What a grown-up.
I would be ticked off too, Don.
Well, does that mean that one-day contract's not happening then?
Well, that was only reported by one person. Nobody else picked up on it.
Right, so that tells me if he threw that tantrum, then he's probably not.
Yeah, but
that.
Isn't Tom Brady just like his family, he said?
I don't know. I do think there's enough evidence to suggest that Robert Kraft should grow up a little bit. No? All right, you're not on board. That's fine. I have my own opinion. I'll stand by it.
Don, you have me.
Okay.
Now, how about this, okay? How about this? So the NFL puts out a statement that Flores without merit, right?
Yes.
Jerry Jones actually does the right thing. Within the hour, he said, I can see it's an area, one of many, that we can do better. Isn't that better than saying without merit? There's obviously an issue. Now, the specifics of the issue, well, that's left up for debate, but Jerry Jones even admits it's an issue.
Why wouldn't you just say, hey, we're going to take a look at this? I mean, that's the least you could do.
It's the least you should do. Let's take a brief timeout. We got a lot of stuff to do, okay? Towel off, shower off, the whole deal. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Speaking of shilling, if I could just get a wide shot from Yes here, is this not a beautiful jacket? I might have to put it on for the rest of the show. What do you think? Oh, it's like a beautiful varsity jacket. Listen, I'm not the kind of guy. You can't just bribe me, all right?
If I don't like something, otherwise.
If I don't like something, I don't like it. You can't just send me a brand new varsity jacket with your logo and think I'm just going to put it on and all of a sudden become a Washington Commanders guy. Not my style.
See, but you're such a phony. You abhor Daniel Snyder.
I love my commies.
They sent you a jacket, and you're going to put it on the top-rated afternoon drive show in New York. That's what you're going to do. You don't care.
The Michael Kay Show.
Daniel Snyder's not a perfect man.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, my goodness. How do you sleep at night? Really?
I mean, you must
toss and turn like a butterfly. I mean, what are you doing?
No, I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm going to feel so warm with that beautiful butter soft leather sleeves and the wool jacket draped.
Nice.
It's going to be like a commander's blanket.
How's it working out for you?
That's right.
You're doing well.
People
you
are
really
so
are.
People are so excited. Oh, the commies. Blah, 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 blah. You know what the haters used to call us back in the day, guys?
Oh, yeah.
The foreskins.
That's not.
So, listen, I've heard it all. So now you call us the commies? No, I don't mind that. That's fine.
You don't mind it?
No, it's 2022. There are worse things to be called than a commie.
Really?
Sure.
Interesting. Brian Flores, the story continues. How about Boog Shambi? You know, everybody thinks Boog Shambi's such a good guy, right?
Wow.
He just texted me. He goes, happy 75th birthday, pal.
Wow.
Sounds like something you would say.
Wow. That's not right. That's really
such a good guy,
wrong.
Though. You can't kill him, though.
No, why? Why? It's something a guy from Regis would say. Typical Regis guy.
Worked out for Regis. Worked out for Dr. Fauci.
Wait, Regis didn't go to Regis. Regis went to Cardinal Hayes.
But I changed it to Regis because of his name, I thought.
No, it's not true. What are you making stuff up for?
I don't know. I thought I saw something. But I got it right with Fauci, though.
You read such a copious amount of things. I think sometimes you don't, take it all in the right way.
I got the Fauci. I'm batting 500.
Gotcha. The Flores situation, he made the rounds today on the morning shows. He was on with Greeny on Get Up, explained his position, said it's kind of for the greater good. His lawyers spoke about how, you know, these are things that can be proven. And since it is a class action lawsuit, it can be joined by other people. And looks like Hugh Jackson might be joining a board. And Peter mentioned earlier that Hugh Jackson's going to be on SportsCenter at 6 o'clock. And he has come out and said that he's got proof that the Browns actually bribed him to lose games. He probably made a heck of a lot of money because all he did was lose games.
That's a great point.
I do have one question, though. One question.
Go ahead.
That kind of jumps out at you. Your owner bribed you to lose games, $100,000 a game, and you never said anything to anybody? Why wouldn't you report him then?
They said his person said they did report it.
No. I'm talking about Flores.
Oh, for Flores, not Jackson. Got it.
That kind of stands out.
Well, but if he was trying to, well, first of all, we don't know that he didn't tell anyone else. Maybe that may be part of what comes up in court. See, so many of the things that we say, well, why didn't you do this? So many of those things will become clear if this goes to trial.
You know, it's so easy to say, well, he should have said some shit, should have turned it in. Hugh Jackson was a guy that, Michael, it wasn't realistic to think he would get another job. And you saw his record. It wasn't all because he tanked. He wasn't a very good coach. But he probably felt like, I can go turn it into the NFL. What do I got to lose? But Brian Flores is a good coach. If he turns that in, I mean, you're going up against the machine. You're going up against the man.
And one of the richest men in the world, too.
Right. And so you don't want to be, as Spike said, whiteballed. You don't want to be blacklisted. You don't want to get, kill your chances at that particular time. And then maybe it just came to the realization after what happened this year is that, what am I doing? I'm not going to get the chance anyway, so I might as well expose them. But at the time, can you fault him if he decided to keep it to himself just because he thought it was a fight he couldn't win and kill his career? Because that might have been what happened. Or maybe Hugh Jackson felt like, my career's dead anyway, I might as well turn it into the NFL. He ended up being right.
Now, if I had Brian Flores on, I would ask him this. And again, this sounds selfish, but that's what I'm about. Why wouldn't you have waited to see if, in fact, you were hired by the Texans or the Saints? Why would you throw this impediment in front of getting those jobs, unless you have word that you're not getting them? Because if you got these jobs, or one of these jobs, and then dropped this bomb, then the fact that you got this job wouldn't take anything away from it. But now if you get one of these jobs, the NFL could say, well, what kind of prejudice? He just got a job after he's suing the league. So, I mean, that could be their de facto defense as well. Why wouldn't you have just waited till those teams name their coach? Maybe you don't get the job, because people are still going to say, it's sour grapes, I didn't get the Giant job, right?
Yeah, that is going around. But maybe the way the Giant job went down, if you read the exchange with Belichick, he really felt like he had a shot at this Giants job. It was his dream job. And he's getting every indication that this is a job that's his to lose. And then you find out that you were just checking a box for the Rooney Rule. I mean, that's got to be pretty disheartening from going where you think you're going to get your dream job, that you're the lead candidate, to all of a sudden just finding out they were going through the motions. It probably just took the air out of his sails. Like, I might get a job someplace else, but really that's what these teams think of me. And right. If I do get a job, it's just going to be to check a box. Like, nobody looks at my record and says, this guy deserves to get a job.
Well, Don, that's what I was going to say, is that if he was sick about it and disgusted and fed up, maybe he thought, I don't want to wait for a job. I'm good. In the words of the great Don LaGreca, I'm good.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. Like, I'm done.
And then he feels like, if I do get the job someplace else, it's just going to be because they want to fill some sort of quota, and it's not because of my merit. And then what chance do I have if I fail there? Like, you go to Houston, and there's no – Watson doesn't come back, and it's another 4 or 5-win season. In 2 years, you're out of a job, and then forget ever getting another chance. Most of these guys don't get a second chance, never mind a third.
I got information to clear you up, Don. Regis Philbin was named after Regis High School.
Okay.
They didn't change the name of the high school because they love Regis and Kathy Lee.
So you could see where I pulled a Belichick. I just an elderly man that misread the situation.
Oh, no.
What?
I love that that's going to be Belichick's new, that I pulled a Belichick. I will tell you, if it's exactly how it appears to have been, that he simply gave that information away, he looks so dumb. I'm sorry. It's one of the all-time – yes, it's simple. It happens to everyone, guys. Everyone has sent a wrong text message. But there's an innocuous text to your best friend that you meant to send to your other best friend about plans this weekend. And then there's, Roman sending a nude photo to his father on Succession. And this airs a lot closer to that one. This is pretty bad that Flores had to go – hey, coach, do you mean Flores or Dable?
It's not face, instant chat, or whatever it is.
Yeah, apparently. See? You should have paid more attention.
I have sent one text out in my life to the wrong person. And I got to tell you, after you hit send, right?
Oh.
And you realize what you've done.
Oh.
This is how I felt. I don't know if you felt this way, Peter. The top of my head felt like so hot. I felt it was going to like blow off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You just don't know what to do because it was not a message I wanted to send to that person. You just feel like you're going to have a stroke.
And I've played it off before. It's the worst. You're like, oh no, what I was referring, it's an awful feeling.
Now you'd have to be quick, but from what I understand, if you realize it right away, you might, if you're quick, put your phone to airplane mode.
Right.
And might save it from getting there, but you'd have to be really quick. You got to be very quick.
You're talking about like
here's another way to go about it. You get rid of the phone. You dump it. You dump it into a, and then you
flush it.
You call up the police. You say my phone's been stolen.
Wow, that's going really aggressive. I like it.
Right, and so then they go, what is it? I haven't had my phone for hours. Somebody must have gotten it and sent you that text.
And then if the text was about something very specific,
right?
How do you explain that?
So
somebody in the business.
So somebody stole your phone, and of all the things that they can do, they decide to send
a text message
text
to a friend.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
To Peter.
Right.
That says, boy, I wish Don would shut up.
Right. So, yeah, oh, that guy thought it would be, whoever stole my phone, thought it would be funny to embarrass me by sending something horrible about Don accidentally to Don.
I've got to tell you something, Don. You certainly struck a chord because Peter and I, back and forth during the show, have sometimes said, will he ever shut up?
Oh, really?
And I worry about, was that to Don? Was he on the grid? But, you know, it's a worry of mine. I don't know if it was Peter.
I will tell you, and there have been
I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
When I've texted, you know, like, we're doing the show from home, and I've texted Laura, like, you know, Jesus, Ebro's really on one today. And if that's on your mind and you just send that directly to Ebro, he looks at it and goes, oh, I'm on one today, huh?
Well, let me
because
see.
It might be a lost cause, my G.
People have a tendency to send it to the person they're talking about.
Right.
Oh, man.
Let me see if I sent anything to Peter about you, Michael.
I'm sure you have.
Oh, of course you have. Are you kidding?
Did you do ecstasy?
We've made fun of him before for complaining about he should be in an iron lung.
Don't talk to me that way.
Come on. Or about he's waxing poetic about baseball, and I just want him to shut his trap.
Swap aside!
I've definitely said that to you before.
Wow. Let's go to the phones, please.
I say that with all due respect, by the way.
Yeah, that's
I love
good.
Baseball.
I see.
Let's go to Casey in Syosset. Casey.
Hi, Michael, Don, and Peter. Happy birthday, Michael.
Thank you.
So, I've been thinking about this throwing of games or tanking games. And I was wondering, a coach, for him to go about it, there has to be more people in on it. He's not on the field. So is he getting players in on it? Why would the players agree to it? Is he telling the players, hey, the running back, run into the linebacker? Why would a player agree to that unless he's getting paid too? Is he telling his offensive coordinator to pick bad plays? But if the players aren't in on it, the players might be executing the plays well. And in baseball, it might be even tougher because you're not calling plays. Is the manager telling his players swing and miss on purpose? Is he telling his pitchers just throw the ball right down the middle every time?
No, the players don't have to know that stuff, Casey. I mean, in a world of analytics, if they know what batters would do well against what pitchers, they know what batters would do poorly against pitchers. They'll send those people up. They'll send in plays. They'll send in backs that might be slightly injured.
Listen,
I mean, the coach has such control over an NFL game.
And listen, to these owners, $100,000 is tipping money. So all it is an incentive. Like, hey, let's make sure some of your decisions kind of go against us, if you know what I mean. He doesn't have to let the players know or the coordinators know.
But if it's $100,000 a game, you're talking about losing 13 games in a season. You're a coach that makes a few million. It could be half your money, maybe more than that.
Let's go to Ralph, all the way in Florida. Ralph.
Hey, guys. Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you.
I'm getting totally off the subject now, but, you know, I'm talking about when you brought up the Knicks.
Please, go ahead.
Mike, I don't know, remember, I was calling you. I called you before the thumbs down incident, and I told you that Randall would get upset if his game wasn't going. He was pouting, mm-hmm. And why was he bringing up the ball? Kimball was the guard. And you like, no, I don't see Randle doing that. And
I think you also said, I think if I remember the phone call, you also said he was out of shape. That's what I said no to.
I didn't say he was out of shape. I didn't say that, Mike. I said that he was pouting on defense.
Well, there was another call.
If his shot wasn't going.
Right.
If his shot wasn't going. But what I'm saying now is, how much do we have to blame for Tibbs in this season? Because there's no way you're going to tell me Leon Rose and whoever is building this team on their own without talking to Tibbs. Like, with the trade for Cam Reddish. Why would we trade for Cam Reddish? And we're going to do the same thing we did with Kevin Knox. I understand Alex Burks is a Thibodeau favorite, but we know we're going to get Alex Burks. We already know the ceiling. The ceiling is closed. I mean, Julius Randle is pouting. You already see his game. It's not the same as last year. He had a fluke year. Let's just call it what it is. He had a fluke year, caught people by surprise. This year, people really caught up to him. We know what we got with him. He's been like that before when he was at the Pelicans, when he was at the Lakers. It's the same game. So we already know, basically, the ceiling last year wasn't a ceiling. That was above the ceiling. That's not going to happen again. But when are we going to start blaming Tibbs?
Well, I think Tibbs deserves some blame, but I will tell you this, Ralph. I think that the front office does things independently of the coach. They might get the coach's take on it. I could not see Tom Thibodeau signing off on getting some of the players they got. Tom Thibodeau wouldn't want Kemba. Kemba can't play defense. Thibodeau's always about defense. He took away two of his best defensive players and Peyton and Bullock. So I think the front office gets some players and says, coach them up. Now, it does seem a little odd you went and got Cam Reddish, but remember one thing. You traded a non-rotational player for Cam Reddish. So Thibodeau saying to the front office, he said it through the media, you got to get rid of a rotational player for me to get a rotational player in. Now, you can say, well, they also gave up a first-round draft pick. Well, that is concerning. But Reddish might see some time, but Grimes has earned his way in. And he does like Burks. And once Rose comes back, well, you're going to lose somebody out of that rotation. It's not going to be an open spot for Reddish unless they make a deal before the 10th. So I don't know if the coach is in lockstep with Leon Rose and Scott Perry and William Wesley. I don't know. I have no idea. Tom in Ridgefield Park. Tom.
Hi, Michael. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Mike, your question to Flores would be, why didn't he say anything? Is there a possibility, I don't know if this is true or not, could he have been holding this as leverage if he did get fired?
Maybe because
he might have been holding up Ross for, you know, as leverage.
It didn't work. So, I mean, he might be thinking, I didn't do anything wrong, so I don't have to report it. I didn't blow games. I won games. So he doesn't feel any guilt about that.
That's true, too.
And this way, he does have this raw stuff in his back pocket if he ever gets unfairly fired. And boy, and if he has text messages from Greer, the GM, that's stupidity at the highest level.
Yeah.
I sat down my daughter the other day, and I said, I just want you to know, because she's emailing people and stuff like that. I said, everything you send out, text, email, anything you put on TikTok, it's forever. Can't take it back. I mean, when you're 25 years old and you're looking for a job, they'll call this stuff up. How could professionals not know this, guys?
Because they're arrogant. Because they're arrogant. They believe they're untouchable.
Or maybe they're morons.
Done, they're clear.
That's possible also.
But you don't think there's a level of arrogance too, Peter? It's stupid to think this way.
I think it's more likely the arrogance.
But, hey, yeah.
It's privilege.
Let's see what comes.
I mean, look at Gruden. Why would you put that stuff in emails? Are you crazy? If you want to say something really terrible about somebody, you know what? Call them up.
But listen, we're learning that these people are crazy. I mean, they're making decisions that don't make sense. The fact that they have no shame about these issues that good, decent people should care about, there's a lot of morally bankrupt people in this league.
I was once told by a college basketball coach, if you ever illegally recruit a kid, or pay him money under the table, pay his family under the table, you can never coach him and discipline him because he's got something on you.
Yeah.
So why would these people give a coach a smoking gun? How could you ever think about firing somebody who you know you've done something so illegal toward and that there's a smoking gun and a paper trail? That's lunacy. That's why I think it's more toward idiotic than arrogance. I mean, I think it's arrogance of Stephen Ross to do it. I'm sure he didn't put anything in writing. The guy's a multi-billionaire who actually earned his money. He didn't inherit it. So he's no dummy. And he does good charitable things, too, if you look at his record. But he was arrogant, and I want to get it. That's why, if you want to look at the root of all evil, other than the discrimination part, it's the draft in all these sports. You see the Baltimore Orioles tanking, losing games for 4 years in a row because they want top draft picks. That is the devil, the draft. That's how teams blow seasons just because they see a player they want to be at the top of the draft. Maybe just make the whole thing a lottery. Even if you win a championship, you have a chance to get the first pick. When you reward terrible play with the first pick in the draft, you are heading down this road.
Should not reward incompetency. And the way sports are, especially in the salary cap era where everybody's given the same chances to win, if you're that bad that long, it's probably because you're not good. And why should I give you gems? And some of these drafts, it's absolute gems. And these leagues, I don't want, you know, the LeBron James and the Connor McDavids and the Sidney Crosbys and the Derek Jeters to end up, you know, some place where they never have a chance to win. And takes Tanker right out of it. Do it.
Weird times, weird times. Come back. We'll have an opportunity for you to play Super Box Bonanza with us. We'll continue to take phone calls. We have a big ENN as well, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the Kay Show, everybody. You guys see the story about Kenny Pickett, the Pittsburgh Panthers quarterback, who did not allow his hand to be measured at the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
Because the word is he has a smallish hand for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So he said, what a business. He's doing hand exercises. So at the combine, that his hand will be better to be measured. I didn't know you could do hand exercises to make your hand bigger.
You can.
What are those exercises?
Well, at basketball camp back in the day, they talked about taking your hands and just putting them on the basketball, and you put like your finger in one crease on the ball and extend as far as you can, then hold it on the ball. You can stretch your hand and get a slightly bigger thing. You can stretch anything.
Okay.
Well, Pat Narduzzi, the football
Excuse
coach
me?
At Pitt, said it's an absolute joke, a complete joke, that they're worried about his hand size.
Well, come on.
If they want to really measure anything, what they should do is do open heart surgery. Go check and see how big that chest cavity is and how big the heart is inside that chest if you really want to analyze. What are we talking about? There's nobody out there who's going to play harder and put everything he's got into it than Kenny Pickett.
I'm Mr. Joe
Football.
This kid
doesn't have a flaw. That's what scouts do. It's the same thing at the combine. They're going to find something else to pick on him. It's not going to be a factor.
All right. Well, I appreciate him supporting his guy, Peter.
Yeah.
But come on. Grow up. Grow up.
They're not attacking.
Jobs are won and lost based on these selections. So, yeah, you would like to think that heart should count more, but it's not as measurable as, all right, he's got small hands. That might be an issue, him holding on to the football. Because if he does have problems holding on to the football, what are they going to say? Well, that's what happens when you draft a guy with small hands. What were you thinking? So for every Doug Flutie out there, there are some specimens out there that were as good as they were supposed to be based on how they were built and how tall they were, how fast they were. So, I mean, listen, I love Wayne Corbett, Tom Waddle, all those guys that, like, defied the odds and made the NFL because of their heart. But there was a reason why they were walk-ons and not drafted, because you can't measure heart.
You know, if the guy's hand was the size of the Kristen Wiig character in the Lawrence Welk sketch on Saturday Night Live, then I would worry about it. I mean, the guy, you know, he has 13,000 yards of total offense, 81 touchdowns. He obviously can hold the football, but I guess they look for everything. I think it's also to cover your butt.
Well, but you can look for it. Now, ultimately, that doesn't mean that you won't draft the guy, but you can understand with so much at stake, you would turn over every stone possible.
Right.
Everything to find out, because there might be a face-off down the road, and the guy with the bigger hands might end up getting the gig. I mean, that's just – I mean, to complain that a scout is doing his due diligence is ridiculous, because if he was a scout, he'd be doing the exact same thing.
Peter has very tiny hands. He's a great broadcaster. It hasn't affected him at all.
I do not have tiny hands, but I look at my hand size.
Well, how do you determine whether your hands are – is there anything?
Bang, bang!
I think my hands are normal size.
Like how do you measure the hand? What are you looking for?
If you have fingers that are size of bananas, you have really big hands.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or if you have the condition known as hot dog fingers.
Right, and if you have, cocktail Frank fingers, then you've got small hands. Let's go to Peter and Elizabeth. Peter?
Peter's here.
Hello, Michael. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you, Peter.
I just want to give a quick call. I'm not a Belichick supporter at all. I just want to let that out there. I'm a lifelong Jets fan, so I've been tormented by this man for years. So I just want to preface my theory by saying that. So Belichick, I have a hard time believing that he's little old Belichick sending a text by mistake. This guy is one of the most revered coaches in NFL history. I have a theory that I believe he was in cahoots with his ill will towards Goodell throughout the years of being penalized by him, and also his connections to Brian Flores and his allegiance to him, and also the fact that he lost to the Giants twice in the Super Bowl. I think maybe Belichick is being a whistleblower on this whole thing, trying to smear Goodell.
Zero shot.
Well, I mean, but Peter brought that up yesterday.
Because first of all, why would you have to make yourself look like an ass to do it? All he could do is say, I got your back in this lawsuit. I will testify that I was told by the Giants who had the job, instead of making himself look like a buffoon texting the wrong person. That's number one. Number two, he loves the Giants. He's on record saying that's the only team he would coach besides the Patriots. So I don't think he would bring the organization down to help Brian Flores. No offense to Brian. I don't think he would – first and foremost, I don't think he would make himself look that way to do it, because there's an easier way to defend Brian. And is he, to get back at the NFL, going to bring down an organization that he loves and a man that he cares for and stays in touch with? That doesn't make any sense to me.
But it does make sense if he wants to make Goodell look bad.
But that's – to Don's point, that's like putting that ahead of everything.
Right.
I mean, unless, you know, listen, I don't know Bill Belichick. I don't know what his social, cultural beliefs are. But unless this issue is dear to him and he's like, it's a perfect combination, I want to do the right thing and I want to screw Goodell.
Let's go to Rich in Clifton. Rich.
Happy birthday, Michael.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you, have you ever met anybody who was born on the same day you were?
Yes, I have. The exact same day, same year, yeah. But Kenny Albert wasn't born.
Oh, same day. Oh, same. Oh, really? Same year too.
So you're 61 today, Rich?
Yes, I am, and I had to call in and wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday! Right back at you. Now, were you born in the? Were you born in this area?
I was born in Utica, New York.
Because my parents told me that it was the biggest blizzard they've ever seen. There were only two people in the hospital. Yeah. And my dad had to go up against police orders. They wouldn't allow any kind of cars on the streets of New York, and that was the only way he could get to the hospital.
Your dad broke the rules?
Yeah, wow. there were two children born in the hospital that day because nobody could get to the hospital. It was a major snowstorm. Now, how about this, Don? I'm 61.
Sure.
And this is the 61st anniversary of the Yankees' 1961 team when Roger Maris hit 61.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I can't believe you waited this long to say that.
It's not about me.
But when you think about that, today is the 61st anniversary of 1961 where Roger Maris hit 61.
Well, not February 2nd.
The
just
year.
The year.
The year.
Still, when you really think about it.
Also, later this month, it's going to be 2/22/22.
Right.
And if a kid in kindergarten does a time capsule, then on 3/33/33,
right,
they can open up the time capsule when they're in their first year of college.
Wait, what?
If somebody's in kindergarten puts a time capsule in the ground on 2/22/22, mm-hmm, on 3/33/2033, they would be in their first year of college. They could open up the time capsule and know what they were doing 11 years before.
Wow, and then because that's how long? Because I guess the last one would have been November 11th, 2011, right?
Right.
That would be the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to go from, it was kind of, you know, obviously during the 70s and 80s it happened, you know, all the time, and now it's not going to happen again in our lifetime.
I got to tell you, when you really think about it, you stop and go, it's 2022. It is wild, right?
Well, like,
there's no 19.
That's right, man.
The fact that we're out of the 20th century is wild.
Now, I think I told you my dad's like favorite movie was 2001, Space Odyssey.
Of course, mm-hmm, it was.
And I remember
the same way you feel about Planet of the Apes.
No, he feels about
Boogie Nights.
Joe Dirt.
I love Dirt.
So, I remember talking to my dad, like thinking, "How old will I be when it's 2001? Like this is back in like the 70s. Like
he couldn't figure it out himself, Peter.
Well, you know, he struggles with time stuff.
Not great with math.
I was not asking him to help.
I'm not a math guy.
I was like having the conversation, like where will we be and how old I'm going to be, and I thought about how far away that was going to be. I thought the same thing when Prince had "I'm Going to Party Like It's 1999. Like, oh my God, that's so long from now. And then we've blown by it. It's gone.
Well, here's a guy who's seen a lot of birthdays, thankfully. Harry.
Yeah.
And Englewood Cliffs. Harry.
Big H.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I had to call you. I'm doing good. I just had to call you and wish you a very, very happy and healthy birthday and many, many more.
Thank you.
To let you know you're catching up to me.
I never want to catch up to you.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, I don't want to catch up
to you.
I want you to live a long time.
Right.
If I catch up, that's not a good thing.
Oh, okay.
I want you to call him on his 97th birthday and say happy birthday.
Yeah.
And to thank you and your buddies there for putting up with me all these years. I'm at a loss for words.
It is not putting up. We love having you call. We love you being a part of our family.
Love it.
Thank you so much. You guys mean so much to me.
Thank you. And thank you for the birthday wishes, Harry.
Yes, that was very nice of you.
I appreciate
it. Okay, buddy.
Such a good guy.
Don, I'm about to post a picture of me and Michael that I think is pretty nice. But you're in it, too, but I got to cut you out because you look repug.
Oh, no. Well, send it to me. I want to see what's being taken out.
Okay. No, please, you're being taken out.
No, but I mean,
who are you taking out?
What
you.
He looks upon as being repug, because I never thought I was repug.
Well, no, you're
the
not.
Time I knew you, I thought
you're not repug. I don't want you to think you're repug in the way that I've said before. You used to be repug. I just don't like how your hair looks. I'll show it to you here. What do you think?
All right, I'm going to use your
A lot of people tell me a kindergartner would be in high school junior, so I guess it would be a second grade. Then they would be the first year in college. Thank you, everybody.
And I guess I'm bad at math because I'm hoping we're all around in 3/33/33.
It's only 11 years, I would hope, right?
Certainly hope I am.
I got to see this picture before we break.
Well, no, we got to break.
Pick 'em.
That could be the first part of ENN. That's coming up in just a moment, right here on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.